Today's reading is taken from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not on his neighbour. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows from the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith. Amen.
Thanks to Hannah for reading God's word to us so well this morning. Thanks to Len for doing the prayer, even though I almost forgot about him. And thanks to Steph and the team for leading us in worship this morning. I should have mentioned that after worship this morning, as you pick up your children from Sunday Club, just a quick reminder that they are then your responsibility after worship. And if you are exiting to go downstairs for tea and coffee, if you want to use the doors to my right, your left, you can go down that way too, and coffee is served in the minor hall. We hope you can stay for that, because we'd gladly have you for tea and coffee after worship. So we're in the fourth week of our series called Love Your Church, and today we come to the topic of caring for one another. A number of years ago, when our children were a lot smaller, I remember going on holiday, and we had two suitcases, we had a travel cot, and we had a baby car seat on one of those trolleys in the airport. I could barely see over it, and I'm 6'4". I can remember pushing this thing around, and the trolley had a mind of its own. I really couldn't maneuver it that well. Things seemed to be falling off it, and I just remember feeling so ridiculous. It's rarely straightforward to carry baggage, and it's impossible to look cool while doing it. It's a menial task to carry bags. It's a menial chore. So at the end of the book of Galatians, when Paul says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. Paul saying, don't get a big head here. Don't become above yourself. If you're going to carry the burdens of other people, you've got to forget about looking cool. And I never want us to be a church that prioritizes cool. I want us to be a church that prioritizes caring for one another, because that will attract people who need cared for. Who wouldn't want to be part of a community where people care for you, take an interest in you? He's warning believers that discipleship is not a way to make a name for yourself, for your ego to be massaged. Your ego will not flourish in the environment of carrying the burdens of other people. Other people will inconvenience you. You might have noticed that already in your life so far. Other people are a problem. Mostly. Sometimes it's yourself. But other people slow you down. You could get on much more quickly. You know, go to wash the car when the kids say, can I help? Or maybe you go to do some baking. This is not me, right? But you go to do some baking and your little daughter says, can I help, mommy? You're like, yes. That'd be great. I'd love your help. Other people cause disruption to your day. They may even impact your deluded sense of being in control. But the reality is, it's for your good. And we don't see it at the time. And I want to help you see how all of these seemingly negative impacts of bearing other burdens are actually good for you. You'll be glad to know that I've only got one point this morning. I usually have two. I've only got one point. I want us to see the true picture. That's what I want us to look at, the true picture. Bear one another's burdens. If you have Galatians 5 open or you want to look it up on your phone, it's the New Testament, one of the books near the end of the Bible. Bear one another's burdens, chapter 5. And so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Paul doesn't want you or I to be deceived about ourselves. He wants us to have a true picture of who we are. He doesn't want anything to filter the reality. He's like, don't look at the nice photos of yourself on Instagram. Let's have a real assessment of who we actually are. There's a benefit to serving other people in that it confronts us with ourselves. Bearing other people's burdens enables you to see yourself more clearly. As you assist someone in their need and come alongside them in their weakness, you get a picture of your own life. It will jump out at you. Any parent will tell you that the behavior of their child that most irritates them is the very thing that the parent is also guilty of. The more we have it in ourselves, the more we dislike it in others. He's so stubborn. There's just no reasoning with him. He doesn't listen. He doesn't even know what he's doing. He's not even paying attention at all. He's so lazy. He's so easily distracted from what he's supposed to be doing that he's not doing the things that he should be doing. He's just like distracted. You think, well, actually, I know somebody else just like that. And we identify really quickly the flaws and the feelings in other people. And as we gossip to our friends about the unkind way we've been treated or we've been inconvenienced, that someone else has been thoughtless towards us, there's the very real possibility that there's a self-righteousness rising in us. And hopefully you will have a self-righteousness detector that goes off, an alarm that says, you too, you also do these very things to other people, because we've all been infected with pride and arrogance. We've declared other people guilty, but if the same standard was applied to us, we too would have to plead, I'm guilty, Your Honor. The person we are has been completely exposed as we accuse other people. No matter how much we try and hide and suppress the real us, helping other people confronts us with the fact that we have all fallen far short of the standard that God requires. John Lennon sang, you can go to church and sing a hymn. Judge me by the color of my skin. You can live a lie until you die. One thing you can't hide is when you're crippled inside. We can't hide it. It comes out of us. Our crippled insides, our broken hearts, our selfish interest in our own pursuits eventually comes out. Sin never stays secret. We can't hide it. And Tony Morita says this in his book, Love Your Church. When I seek to put sin to death in my life, it will inevitably bless others. And when I'm indulging in sin, it will have a negative impact on others. We never really sin in isolation. So your personal holiness and discipleship and growth to be more like Jesus is not just important for you. It will make a difference to this fellowship. It will benefit us if you become more like Jesus. And to the same token, your disobedience, your sin, it's not just private sin, and sure, what difference does it make in not doing any harm to anyone? Wrong. It will harm the fellowship. It will infect the body with impurity. And so when Paul anticipates that believers coming together are a group of broken people who are broken inside, he's saying we need to look out for one another and not just let sin go unnoticed, because it's going to damage the body. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you be tempted. And the word that Paul uses to talk about restoring is a word that Matthew and Mark both use when they're talking about fishermen mending their nets. When it says that Jesus saw them on the shore mending their nets, it's joining together something that's been frayed or broken, something that's detached. And Paul's saying, you know, intertwine again this person who is detached from the fellowship by their sin. Get them restored to it. And he warns people against arrogance as they come to restore people to fellowship. Maybe you're not tempted to sin in the exact same way as that person that you're restoring to a path of discipleship, but the temptation certainly is to look down on them and to be smug or arrogant, to gloat over their failure while being ignorant to your own, to become proud and blind to our own faults. This is a really embarrassing to admit, but a number of years ago, possibly 10 or more, I got to know a guy who was deeply in debt. He was under threat from paramilitaries, and I visited him weekly. And we were, as a church, able to bring food to him, and I spent a bit of time with him on a Friday. Part of my Friday routine was to call and see this guy. And at the start, I was really eager to do this, and I was so pleased with myself that I was doing a really good thing. And then I used to drop it in the conversation with people as well. I just have to go and see this guy, just so people thought I was great in what I was doing. And as I called with him, I felt that he was really someone who I could help, and he was in need. And his partner had health concerns, and I would prioritize that. But as time went on, I discovered my compassion for this guy began to wane, because he repeatedly made poor choices. He ignored my advice. Things that I thought, this would be a really good way for your life to get better and to improve, he said, yeah, that's really good. And then 3 weeks later, I asked him, and he hadn't done it once. And on top of it all, he smoked constantly. And I started to get really irritated that my clothes smelled of smoke every time I went into his flat. And I came out thinking, my clothes are stinking. Mine is all gone. My wife's going to have to wash these clothes. I'm going to have the challenge of putting my clothes in the wash basket to solve this problem of my clothes smelling like smoke. I'm going to have to stand in a shower for 5 minutes and wash my hair. It's terrible. Get this, you know, smell of smoke away from me. I don't smoke, and yet I'm coming out reeking of smoke. And as I felt that way about this situation, I was reminded of what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God made Christ, who knew no sin, to become sin for me, so that I could become right with God. Jesus didn't just take on the smell of Benson and Hedges for me. He took on my sin. Here was me walking out of this flat feeling like, this guy is such an annoyance to me. He doesn't pay attention. He does his own thing. He doesn't help himself. I tell him exactly what he would do that would be better, and still he ignores me. And I was looking at a mirror to my own spiritual condition. Jesus embraced the stench of death for me. My need of sins forgiven. My hope of eternal life was granted to me, even though I repeatedly ignored the word of God. the people of God. My absence of fear in the face of death, my absence of fear in the face of judgment was completely tied to the fact that someone took on sin from me. He didn't just take on the aroma of regal king size. He took on the aroma of death, the aroma of sin that was mine. He was pure and spotless and clean, and none of this stuff would have been anywhere near him except that he chose to keep company with the likes of me. Jesus became contaminated with my rebellion against his Father. And I could stand in worship and sing, "Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame, and love you came and gave amazing grace." And I close my eyes and hold my hands up and look really spiritual on a Sunday, and then on a Friday afternoon walk out of a flat feeling pretty self-righteous and irritated that someone was ignoring me and I knew better, and my clothes now needed to go in a washing machine. And Tim Keller says this: the more you see yourself as spiritually poor and the recipient of God's wonderful grace, the more your heart is going to go out to the poor. And you could replace that description of poor with a thousand other things. Caring for other people will confront you with yourself. You can think of other categories. The more you encounter people who are hungry and serve them and help them and bring food hampers to them, you will realize that this is me. And I am not condescending or patronizing or above this person. They are me. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I don't have what it takes to satisfy the appetite for righteousness in my life. I need someone else to give it to me. Caring for other people exposes us more fully to our own spiritual condition. The more I spend time with people who smell, the more I become aware of my stench before God because of my sin that stinks in his presence. My heart will go out to someone who smells. The more you spend time with people who do not have clothes that cover up their nakedness and shame, the more you will be aware of your own situation that you need to be clothed by Jesus Christ. My heart will go out to people who need clothes. The more you spend time with those who are ill, who are sick, who are unwell, who have got some disease that is destroying their body, the more you will become conscious of your need for Jesus, because sin has infected every single one of us. And there is only one healer who can make us well. The more you spend time with someone who is lonely, the more you will appreciate being adopted into a family. The more you spend time with someone who is divorced or separated, the more you will appreciate the fact that God has reunited you with himself, that you belong to the bride of Jesus Christ, that you belong to the bridegroom who is faithful, who will never leave you. The more you spend time with the displaced people who are living in this land, even though it was not their original home, you will become aware that your citizenship is elsewhere. And you will be grateful that Jesus says, "Behold, you know, Thomas, you know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas says, "We don't even know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Let us, as a people of God, not grow weary of doing good. For in due time, in due season, we will reap what we sow if we do not give up. Keep caring for one another. So then, he says in verse 10 of chapter 6, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. I think this is really important, because often in church we think we should just kind of disregard one another, but we're really, you know, let's be really good with outsiders. Let's especially care for those who don't yet know Jesus, because we need to put our best foot forward with potential new customers. And it seems to be the other way around here. You know, Paul says to the Galatians, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So I want to encourage you, just as we bring this message to a close, to plan this week to care for each other in this place. Think of one person, one family, one way you can deliberately care for, show kindness to, support, bless another family or person in this church. Doesn't need to cost you. It could be your time. Doesn't need to cost you money. It could be your time. It could be a talent. Could be a lasagna. Could be a text message. Could be a card. Could be a cake. Could be a coffee. Could be a conversation. Plan to show care to each other. And if you do it this week, then make a habit of it. Don't be so busy with yourself that you've no time to care for other people. Make the good news of the gospel visible to one another in this place. Bearing all my sin and shame and love, you came and gave amazing grace. Jesus bears you up and gives you what you do not deserve. How can you bless someone who has not triggered it in you? Someone who has not, like, oh, they had me for dinner, so I have to have them. Just bless someone without this contractual thing, because Jesus has so blessed you. How can you bear the weight of someone else's burdens this week? How can you give them what they have not earned, because Jesus has given you what you have not earned? I know you were so impressed with me when I quoted the London Baptist Confession a couple of weeks ago, so I thought I would do it again just to impress you even more. Chapter 5, paragraph 7 says this: as the providence of God does in general reach to all creatures, so after a more special manner it takes care of his church and disposes of all things to the good thereof. God is in control. He cares for all people. But he's got a special care for his church. And we are a privileged people. Special care, which is why we're encouraging you into membership. So come and belong to the community that God especially cares for. Does he care for the whole world? Of course he does. Does he love the whole world? Yes, he sent his son. But he's got a particular special interest in his church. And because he has a special interest in us, we should have a special interest in one another and a particular care for one another. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Let's take a moment to pray, and then we'll share in the Lord's Supper together. Father in heaven, we really are a privileged group of people. We thank you for your word and how it makes us conscious again of your love for us in the church. We bless you that even though we cannot see it at this moment and in time, you are disposing all things for the good of your people. We pray to say sorry for the times when we have been preoccupied with ourselves. We pray to say sorry for the times when we have been proud and arrogant and looked down our noses at other people who are in exactly the same situation as us. Help us to care for other people and to see ourselves in them. We thank you, Lord God, that when we were hungry, you fed us. When we were naked, you clothed us. When we were thirsty, you gave us something to drink. And when we had the stench of death, you took that from us and gave us life. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Amen.